on the screen. Either way, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." This is the word of the Lord. As you're being seated, turn around and tell someone Merry Christmas before you're seated. After you do that, you can be seated. Over the last several weeks, we've been, really, to be honest with you, we've been in the last 4 weeks. We have been in a series here at Life Point Riverdale, all of Life Point Church, called War Cry. And we're talking about the war cry of God, who was Jesus Christ, the warrior child who came to do battle, literally to do battle against sin, against death, against hell, against the great enemy, against sin that entered into the world in the garden from the very beginning. And those of us who have surrendered and submitted our lives to him, we celebrate this Christmas Eve the birth of the Christ child. And so tonight, we're going to take just a few moments, and I want to talk just about a little bit about these verses that we read. Following me reading these, we're going to have a time of communion. And after a time of communion, we're going to have a time of lighting of candles here. I tell you that because many of you are new. You might not have been a part of a church, and I want you to know where we're going and what we're doing. I don't want you caught off guard by any of what we talk about in here tonight. You're a welcomed guest, so thank you for being here. In this passage here, there are about three different little things that I want to point out about the war cry of God, about the war cry, the one named Jesus, that I think are pretty important, that I think have something to do with you and I tonight. And we can find ourselves in this passage, though it's not about us, I think we can find ourselves in here. The first thing that I want you to see really quickly is that this war cry is historical. When I say it's historical, it happened in real time, in real places, with real people, and we believe that it really did happen. Look at verses 1 and 2 there, if you don't mind. It says, "In those days, a decree, a real decree, went out from a real man named Caesar Augustus." And it says that that decree from him was that all of the world should be registered. That means everyone numbered and everyone named. And it says that this was the first registration when Quirinius, a real person who was the governor of Syria. Again, I want to make sure that you catch this. This is real time, real fact, really happened. In fact, as we read continually on this, it talks about some real people in real places. It talks about a real man named Joseph, a girl named Mary. It talks about a real place named Bethlehem. This book, the book of Luke, the guy who wrote this, the man who wrote it named Luke, he was a doctor. And in fact, if you look at the beginning of the book of Luke, it says that he was writing it for a man named Theophilus. He was undertaking to write a detailed account. As a doctor, he was detailed. And the reason that he was writing such a historically accurate, detailed version is that he wanted Theophilus, number one, but for us to know that this really happened. I want you to think about it for just a few moments. All that it took for there to be a massive migration all across the world to go and be registered to the household, to the place where their lineage was begun. I want you to think about for just a moment how this little family, Mary and Joseph, teenagers, young teenagers, had to move and go for a period of time to a real place called Bethlehem. And as they're going, Bethlehem is so packed and so crowded that there's no place for them to live. This really happened in a real place, in a real time. And I believe that if he can get a no-name little family from backwoods Nazareth to another little small community called Bethlehem at a time when it's crowded, you know what? I think that he can get you here tonight. You realize that history, your history, is really his story of redemption in your life. It's about you and I coming to know him as Lord and Savior. This historical story that truly happened is all about so that you and I and millions of other people who are gathered tonight might know that the Christ child was born. Some of you tonight, you're here and you came because you looked up online and you live close or you live near and you're wanting to go and gather with people because this is kind of what you do on a Christmas Eve. You maybe remember it from when you were a small child and you're here tonight. Maybe you came with family. Maybe you got an invite from somebody. Maybe you saw something on Facebook or social media and you thought, I'm going to show up. Can I tell you that your story is a part of his story of redemption for you tonight? He's brought you here so that you might hear the gospel. Maybe you don't know him as Lord and Savior, and tonight is the night that you have the opportunity to meet him. Maybe tonight in this room, there's a lot of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, and he's brought us here tonight so that we would truly remember and think about that this is more than nostalgia. This is more than just singing great little Christmas songs and lighting candles. This is about the Savior of the world who came to do battle on our behalf. He fought a war that you and I could never fight. So this story, this war cry is historical, but it's also something else, I think. This war cry is intentional. It's very intentional. Look at verses 3-5 here. It says this, and all, I think that's an important word, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, very important, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the line of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, and his child. Notice that word there. It says all, intentionally, God was moving all of the people at one time. He himself was doing it. He was taking a real man named Joseph back to his lineage home, the city of David. It was intentional because the Messiah, the scripture tells us, he would be of the house and of the line of David. So he's moving Joseph and Mary to where David's home was. He gets him there. But it's also very important that he gets them to a town called Bethlehem because of a prophecy that happened 700 years prior by a little-known prophet named Micah. And Micah prophesied where the Messiah, where the Savior might be born, would be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from Ancient of Days." You see, the fact that this warrior child was of the house and the line of David, who is now in Bethlehem, was very intentional. God's story, his story, was moving all things. And I want to say to you tonight, I want you to think about for just a moment in your life the things that it has taken for you to be where you are right now. Think about all the things, the good things, the bad things, the unexpected things, I want you to know that all of those things are intentional. The scripture tells us that all of our days were written before a one had happened, and they were all written by the hand of God. And that he uses all of history to move us so that we might have an opportunity, so that we are in a position where we can hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit of God. So tonight, I even want you to think about this. What has happened for you to be sitting at a church on Warrior Drive called Life Point Riverdale? Here you are. Most of us in this room aren't from Middle Tennessee. You're from somewhere else, probably. And yet he's ordained everything for you to be here tonight so that you might hear his story of how he sent his son to come to live a perfect life, to die a death that we could never die on our own, because it took a perfect man. And none of us are perfect, so we couldn't even die for our own sin, much less for someone else. It took a perfect man, the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God. And think about this. He put him in a town called Bethlehem. Did you know that Bethlehem, the Hebrew, in Hebrew, the word Bethlehem, this name Bethlehem, means the house of bread. The house of bread. He takes, John records, the Apostle John records in John chapter 6, that Jesus said he was the bread of life. So God, in his story, historical narrative, his story of redemption, intentionally had the bread of life born in a town called the town of bread, and he was laid in a manger, a feeding trough, where animals were fed. Do you think there's irony in that story? No, there's intentionality in that story. And I want you to know that tonight, all of the things that you're going, man, all the different situations, all the things in my history, all the things that it took for me to be right here, I want to tell you, they may be situational, but they're not random. They're intentional. For you to be right where you are tonight, so that you might hear about this Christ child, and maybe tonight receive the greatest gift ever to be offered. Don't you look forward to gift giving? I love giving gifts, and I love receiving gifts. And the Bible tells us, so I'll be waiting, all right? I'll be out in the back if you got something for me. The Bible tells us this, that Jesus offers a free gift to us, a gift. Now, because it's free doesn't mean that it's inexpensive and cheap. No, it costs a lot. And you can't think about, or I can't think about, the fact that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the one who came to be born, I'm so thankful that he did. But you realize the love of God wasn't just that Jesus was born. He was born intentionally because he needed to live a perfect life so that he could be a worthy, in fact, Romans calls it a propitiation. That's a big $5 word that means a worthy sacrifice. The one who would lay his life down. You see, you can't have the cradle without the cross. I was reading one of my Advent devotionals this morning, and just as a good author does, here I am worshiping and I'm remembering, thinking about the Christ child, and he turns the story to point me towards the cross. You see, that's why all of the historical narrative, all of the history, all of that was intentional, because there one would have to come, and his name was Jesus, the Christ. Not only was it historical, not only was it intentional, but this war cry was very personal. It was very personal. Notice in verses 6 and 7, it says, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Her and she is Mary. That's Mary. She had a husband with her named Joseph. Real people in real time and space, in a real place, in a real stable, with a real manger, and she really had a baby, the Son of God, the Messiah. It happened in history. It was intentional, and it was very personal. You know why? So that you and I might be able to have a personal relationship with the warrior child who was born. So that you and I might have the opportunity to use the war language again, that we might have the opportunity to surrender, to submit, to bow the knee, to lower my flag and to raise his flag and say, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. You know, I believe the scripture when the scripture tells us that there is a very real place called heaven, that those who know Jesus as Savior will end up in a place called heaven. Not because of anything we've done, not because of any merit that we have, but because of Jesus Christ and us surrendering our life to him, our eyes being opened, him moving us from death to life. I also believe that the scripture teaches very clearly that for those who don't know Christ, there's a very real place called hell that we live in separation if we die without him. This is why tonight in your history, the Lord God has brought you here intentionally so that he could personally speak to you and offer you the free gift of God. The Bible tells us that if we would believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, if we would confess with our mouth that he is Lord, Lord means boss, that he is the King, the Lord of my life, that we would be saved. In fact, verse 13, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, all, that's why it's very important, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why do we need to be saved? Because in Luke chapter 2, I didn't read this verse, but if you went down to verse 14, the last part of 14, it says this, that he came, the angels announced that when he came on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Do you know why Jesus came? So that we might have peace with God. That we might have peace with God. And in having peace with God, we have an assurance that come what may, that this warrior child, the one that we worship, the one that we've gathered here tonight for, the one who is all love, Jesus, who is all love, the Christ child, in surrendering and submitting our life to him, when I say have the hope of heaven, that's not wishful thinking, that's a sure foundation that we would have him. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. In just a few moments, we're going to be taking communion together. Communion, the Lord's Supper, maybe you're from a tradition where it was called the Eucharist, meaning the Thanksgiving, a giving of thanks. We're giving thanks because, as I mentioned a few moments ago, that Jesus, the Christ child who came, he came so that he could live and die so that we might have a relationship with God again, a right relationship that was broken. And then tonight in this room, this afternoon, there are some of you in here, you have no peace in your life. You're tried to find peace in all kinds of things. Can I tell you that true peace is only found in Jesus Christ? Not the absence of trials, but peace in the midst of the trial. That's who Jesus is. So this afternoon, in just a few moments, I'm going to call the deacons forward. They're going to come take some trays, and they're going to begin to pass these trays. And in there, there's a little cup. And on one side of the cup, there's some bread. On the other side of the cup, there's some juice. These elements, they do not in any way, and they don't in any way bring salvation. Salvation comes when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, where communion comes from is in the book of Mark. I want to read a passage to you. It's in Mark chapter 14. And this passage is written by Mark. He received his writing or his stories from the Apostle Peter. And he's writing about the night that Jesus was betrayed, right before he was to be crucified. And in Mark chapter 14, beginning of verse 22, it says this, "And as they were eating," they had gathered for the Passover meal. It says, "And as they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, this is my body.' And then he took the cup. And when they had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Tonight, before they pass this out, I want to make two invitations to you. And these two invitations are for two separate sets of people in here. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ tonight, I want to invite you to partake of this supper. The Lord's Supper is a memorial meal of remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Specifically, it's about his death. And the Lord's Supper is for those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's for those of us to remember, I once was lost, now I am found. I've gone from spiritual death to spiritual life. And we take this, and we'll do this together. So when it comes by, I'd ask you to take it out and you hold it, because we're going to come back in a few moments and we're going to take it together. So if you are a follower of Christ, I invite you to take this. Parents, if you have children in the room that have never surrendered to Jesus Christ, I would ask you to withhold it from them. You go home and you talk about what this means. Here's the second invitation. It's for those of you who have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My invite to you is to receive Christ, because the Lord's Supper is specifically for those who have surrendered their life to Christ. So if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, when this tray comes by, we're going to be standing in a few moments. The deacons are going to be passing it. You just let the tray go on by. You take it and pass it on. My invitation is that tonight, would you please surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Accept the gift that the Holy Spirit is offering to you. Jesus, I surrender my life. I've put my faith in all kinds of things: money, fame, popularity, retirement, being known, doing a good job. I've put my faith in drugs and alcohol and food. I've put all of these things have let me down, I have no more peace. They've left me empty. Tonight, would you surrender your life to Jesus Christ? That is the greatest gift ever offered to man, to women, to teenagers, and to children. Tonight, that's the invitation for those of you who do not know Christ. Remember, he's brought you here tonight intentionally and personally to change your history, to rewrite history in your life. And the way that happens is by surrendering to him. Deacons, would you mind coming now at this time? Go ahead and come. And when they get here, you go ahead and begin to pass out the elements. And as they're passing them out, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and stand around the room, please. Would you go ahead and stand? Zion and the team are going to come, and they're going to lead us in a song. And as a part of this song, it's a song of worship, response. It's a song of examination, of thankfulness. God, is there anything that I need to confess to you? Is there any relationships that are broken? So I ask, would you take this time as this happens? Zion, please lead us.